Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good afternoon and good evening, and welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 74 countries. So whether it's your first time joining us or you've been listening to us for some time, I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network Tuesday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us in our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and you can interact with the guests and other listeners of the show, and you can ask questions. I ask that you subscribe wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe. And if you want to leave us a rating or review, we'd really appreciate that as well. You can hear us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Himalaya app, the Google Play Music app. Basically, wherever you listen to shows, you can find us here at Life Transformation Radio. On the show, I bring on entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters and authors, and amazing people who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show during our live program, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. And with that, please help me welcome to the show my guest for today, Tracy Thompson. Tracy, welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
Thank you so much, Sean, for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
I'm super excited as well, because not only do I have an amazing guest, but like 5 minutes before the show, my wife gave me some gummy worms. It's the simple pleasures in life, really.
Life is complete.
Life is complete. I have gummy worms and an amazing guest for the next hour. So I love what you're doing, love your story, and I'm excited to have you on the show. And today's episode is titled The Yes Method with speaker and entrepreneur Tracy Thompson. She is a speaker, a business consultant, a conscious entrepreneur, and co-owner of La Femme Empire and creator of Business Health Body Wealth, Conscious Conversations That Convert, and The Yes Method. Tracy's passion and life purpose came into clear focus after her brush with death in the form of stage 3 cancer 6 years ago. She walked away from conventional medicine, her prior career, and life as she knew it, and embarked on an epic journey of self-empowered healing and spiritual awakening. Tracy said yes to her inner yes, and within 6 months, healed herself with no chemo, no radiation. Now, she teaches entrepreneurs and leaders globally how to harness the power of their own yes journey to make a bigger impact and difference in the world. Her website is La Femme Empire, LaFemme Empire, La Femme Empire. Go to her Facebook group, La Femme Empire Yes to Millions. It's right there in the show notes. Connect with her. She is absolutely fabulous at what she is doing. And wow, Tracy, after reading that, I think I already know the answer to this, but I want to ask you, what is your why? Why do you do what you do?
Yes, 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 yes. Well, why? Why indeed? It's an interesting thing when we have our life, a bomb dropped in the middle of our life, you know, and this massive disruption gives us a unique opportunity to look at everything differently. And one thing that my whole cancer journey taught me was that if we're not truly being authentic and congruent with our passion, with our true purpose here on this earth, we feel it. And if we ignore it for long enough, you know, life finds a way to kick us in the, you know what, right?
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
My big why is to empower people, to impress upon them how important it is to tune in to that inner yes within them, the one that hints at them at first, you know, that beckons, that calls in little ways, and then gets louder and louder the longer we don't heed it, until hopefully for everyone else's sake, they don't wait until it comes to that sort of cataclysmic breaking open like it did with me. But that's my big why. Empower people to say yes to their yes.
Oh, 100%. Let's talk some serious business.
Yes.
How hard was it to convince the doctors to really tell people, like, I healed myself. I didn't need chemo and I didn't need radiation, because that's what we're always told. Oh, man, you got to start chemo right away. Oh, you got to start, you know, this, that, and the other. And I'm going to bring up a friend of mine and what he told me here in a minute. But I really want to dive into, you know, how hard it is to convince people that, listen, I didn't do chemo. I didn't do any radiation.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I will say this. I didn't know anybody. At the time when I was diagnosed, I didn't know anyone who had ever, you know, said no to their doctors.
Right.
My family, I was not brought up that way. I wasn't in that community. I really didn't know anyone. I just had this feeling within me that as soon as I got the diagnosis and they told me what the prognosis was, what they wanted to do, put me through really barbaric levels of radiation. It was head and neck cancer. So shooting radiation,
wow.
I used to call it the spray and pray mission, right? Just go in there and blast everything and hope they got it. And chemo was just crazy to me. And I really felt within me that I knew there was another way. It was a better way for me. So for me, it was more about me saying yes to the part of myself that knew that this wasn't the right way for me, mm-hmm. and that there was something else, that there was something more. So, you know, to tie into that yes, right, there always is that inner yes within us. The problem is we don't tend to tune into it. We don't tend to listen to it. We hand
right.
over our right. We hand over those big decisions in our health and our life in many cases to authorities like doctors. So was it hard? I think the most difficult part of that for me was just owning my own yes first. Once I did that, then the conversations and, you know, making the decisions were much easier. But that's the hardest part, frankly.
Oh yeah. I have a friend who is in the healthcare industry. And he told me, he had told me some stories about people who said no chemo, no, you know, whatever. And he's not like a nurse or a doctor or whatever. He's just in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's a health coach and some other things, you know, that he does. And I asked him, because he is telling me about, you know, cancers and this, that, because I was going to have a cancer guest on. And he's like, man, I'm going to tell you what. And here's what he tells me. And I was like, what? My mom has been a nurse for like 30 years. So I ran it by my mom and she goes, seems plausible. Yeah, absolutely. It seems plausible. As a matter of fact, I mean, I can't dispute it. So yeah, absolutely. Here's what he tells me. You get diagnosed with cancer. The cancer is a tumor.
Mm-hmm.
Your body... Mm-hmm. encapsulates and insulates that cancer so that it does
right.
not spread. Your body fights
right.
it
right
by the form of a tumor. So you can do one of two things. You can blast it out of there with radiation and whatever, or you can do a surgery to remove the tumor, you know, whatever. Whatever needs to happen. He said the problem is that they go in and they take a biopsy of it. Mm-hmm. When they take a biopsy of it, they puncture that capsule, that protective mm-hmm. coating. They puncture it. Guess what happens? Mm-hmm. It's like popping mm-hmm. a zit. It leaks mm-hmm. everywhere. And guess mm-hmm. what it does? It spreads. So then there's like, oh my gosh, it's spreading. Well, no crap. So now that the doctor has punctured the capsule that is keeping that cancer from spreading,
mm-hmm.
they want to do radiation. And radiation breaks down your immune system and your ability to fight it.
Sure.
He's like,
so
chemo,
does the chemo. Yeah.
Kills people. That's what they do. The chemo kills people. It breaks down your white blood cells. The radiation breaks down your body ability to fight. He said the worst thing you can do for any cancer is to let them do a biopsy, which spreads the cancer, and then give them chemo and radiation to make it worse. He says, did you know that there have been – and he's been told by other doctors, like, he's like, you need to shut your face. So I'm really wondering what's going to happen with this episode. But I don't know. Maybe the government will shut me down. However, what he told me was that simply altering your diet has an effect on that cancer.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
That's what I wanted to say.
It's called epigenetics. The field of epigenetics is where it's going. And this is how I healed myself. I dove in headfirst, gave myself what I felt was like the equivalent of a PhD in alternative medicine, and certainly knew enough about conventional oncology to be terrified of that industry. And I'll just be mm-hmm. very blunt. The more I knew, the more disgusted I was. If you follow the money, it's a crazy business. Most people don't realize just how much money is made on chemotherapy alone. It is a profit center. It is a profit center. That's where they make their money. So for me, you know, diving into this whole world, this whole notion of epigenetics, and I promise you, this actually does tie in to the whole entrepreneurial aspect of what it is I'm doing and why I work with entrepreneurs and other thought leaders and emerging change agents out there, because epigenetics is the study and the science and the medicine of changing the gene expression, the way that genes express outside the environment, outside of the gene that influences. So food, as an example, is one of those influences. It's one of the epigenetic influences that turns on or turns off certain genes. So absolutely, food as medicine really matters. So that's one of the things that I did right off the bat, was radically change my diet to stop eating for the purposes that we so often eat, and shifting it to more mindfully using food as medicine. And so that was the very first thing I did. But that certainly wasn't the only thing. That was just one of the factors that goes into – there's so many ways to heal oneself of cancer, as an example, that most people have absolutely no clue about. I didn't know that there were hundreds of ways to cure yourself. So, it was an exciting, interesting time. understanding that I had that much power. You know, how cool is that?
Yeah. This show is all about that moment.
Yeah.
That moment that changed us. That moment that defines us. The moment that transformed our entire life, redirected our steps, shifted our focus, and put us on the path to what we're doing today.
Yeah.
So I want to get into that moment. Was it the moment that the doctor told you had cancer? Was it the moment after? Give us that transformational moment, your moment, your thoughts, feelings, beliefs. What was that transformational moment for you?
Yes. For me, it's very, very clear. In fact, I'm writing a book currently about it called Cancer is the Answer to All the Wrong Questions.
oh, boy.
So, yeah, right? The moment for me was not when I got the diagnosis, although that was a moment, certainly, and it was a pivotal moment. What most people assume that one feels when you get that kind of news is dread, sadness, fear. You know, those are the typical assumed emotions, right? However, where I was in my life, at the point that I was, I had a 13-year-old daughter who was going through a lot of her own stuff, single mother of elderly parents who just stopped driving. So I was taking them everywhere, caregiving my parents and my 13-year-old daughter on my own and relaunching my career. I just finished my second business degree, trying to, you know, climb the ladder, make a more of myself, so to speak, by playing by all of the conventional rules, right? Doing what I was told I was supposed to do. But I was stressed out of my freaking mind. I was so, you know, the wrong questions, as I related to this, you know, the title of my book, the wrong questions I was asking of the universe, of myself was, you know, when is it going to be my chance for a break? When is this all going to end? When's the stress, the pressure, the, you know, right, that was caving in on me? When am I going to get a break? What's it going to take for me to get a break? And guess what the answer was, right? Cancer. So once I had it was official. I hung up the phone and I didn't feel fear. I didn't feel all the array of emotions most people would think. What I felt was relief. I hung up the phone and said, thank God, there's an out for me. I actually could opt out right now and nobody would blame me. And that's when I realized, holy crap, I've got to change things. I can't live like this. This is not living, right? And from that point, it was a moment a few weeks after that where I was laying on my bathroom floor. I'm not sure why epiphanies seem to happen on the bathroom floor, but I was laying on the bathroom floor, right, with the door locked because it seems like the only privacy I had. And and I'm going through the stuff. And I, at the time, I learned about tapping, EFT, right, tapping.
Yep.
And I'm tapping, you know, and I'm tapping, and it's just start asking these questions, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to choose all of it? Like, what am I going to do with my life? Do I even want to keep going, truthfully? And I kind of heard the proverbial voice, if you will, this internal voice that said, you know, you're going to have to face the really hard questions. If you want to come out the other side, a different person, you know, not live this same life, then we got to go into the dark. And I said, okay, I'm willing to do that. And this guidance, this voice sort of guided me through this and said, what if? Let's play the game. What if? You got to go there. What if it gets worse? What if you lose your daughter? What if you lose control? What if it doesn't get better, right? What if you can't make money anymore? What if, right? And
it's a terrible game to play.
It is. It's a terrible. But you know what? It was so necessary because that holding on, that part that says, you know, I'm too afraid to look at what if. That part was what was holding me back, and so I went down that path. And I cut to the bottom, and it was me alone, dying in the street, in the gutter by myself, with no family, with nothing. And, you know, tears streaming down my face, and just, it was this existential dread, you know, of who am I, right? If I lost it all. And at that moment, the same sort of presence and voice said, if all that happened, would you still be you? Would you still be you? And I really thought about that. And I finally got to a place where I could say, yes, yes, I would still be me. But it wasn't done. That wasn't the end of it. It was the real pivotal moment was the next question. And that was, if all of that happened and you were still you, would you, could you truly love and accept yourself as nothing, as having nothing, being nothing, basically a obliteration of your ego.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that was hard. That was really hard. But once I could say yes, right? Yes to that. Yes, I could, would still love myself and accept myself. That was the moment. That was the moment that everything changed. Everything broke open. I felt this liberation, this radical shift, an opening that I had never felt before, a sense of freedom that it's almost indescribable to be free of every shackle of no fear anymore, no fear of the worst thing that could happen, no fear of your own value, you know, knowing that you will still be you and that you could still love yourself. There's your bulletproof then, that nothing can touch you, right? That's the ultimate yes. And so I got up. That's the voice said, okay, get up then. Get up and start living your life as if you really, truly are that yes. Don't just say it. Don't just pay lip service to it. Be that yes, the you that you know mm-hmm. you're meant to be, right? And so that became my mission. I got up off that floor and I said, okay, everything's going to change. And that's when I knew there was no way I was going back. There was no way I was doing radiation, chemo. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I did know I wasn't going to do that. And after that, a series of miracles broke open. I'm telling you, nothing short of miraculous things started to occur in my life because I submitted myself every day to that yes. That was my whole goal every day, is to be true and authentic and aligned with that yes. Well, that's when it
shifted. Wow. That's amazing. Wow. You know, I try to live my life by saying yes and figuring it out. That's how I live my life, by saying yes and figuring it out.
Yes and.
Yes and what?
Yes and. That's the preface.
That's
for
what I'm
everything,
saying. Like,
right?
Yes and
yes.
What?
Yes and. Yes and. Yes.
You got to keep going.
Exactly. Yes. And what does this mean? Yes. And how do I figure it out? Yes. And if you say yes and in front of everything, right, you're going to be open to so much more. So we are so quick to say yes, but instead of yes and, right?
You know what I love when people say that, oh, I had all this success because I manifested it. I'm like, that's awesome. You sat in your room and just think stuff up. That's what you do. You just think stuff up and all of a sudden it appears like a magic genie. That's awesome. Yes. I just think shit up. What they fail to realize is that you had to take action on it, right? Like there's the and part. You're missing the and part. I honestly don't believe that someone sat in their room and said, I'm going to do this. For example, I put on Facebook, I will deliver a TEDx talk in the year of 2017. Right. Actually, matter of fact, I said in 3 years. And then I said, screw that. I'm not waiting 3 years. I want it now. I said on social media, I was like, I declare today, I declare that I will deliver a TEDx talk in 2017. It was like spring of 2017. You know what I did? I went and found all the TEDx events that I could and I applied for them.
Yep.
And I got a TEDx event. I was like, the law of attraction works, my friends. You have to do the work. Because
Dude,
I
absolutely.
Said it would happen. Boom. You know what people told me? It's like, oh my gosh, that's so great. You thought it and it came true. No. I took action and it came true.
That's
the difference. Nobody in the history, I would challenge anybody. I would love to meet a person who sat there one day and says, I'm going to be a millionaire, and continued their life in the same state that they said that in. They didn't grow. They didn't regress. They literally stayed in the same mentality and in the same state
Yep.
And they became a millionaire. I would love to meet a person that didn't grow or change in some way.
That's exactly what I my whole point was, that you have to be your yes. In order to be your yes, you have to act accordingly, right? So part of being means that you get up and you act as if someone who is that. So yeah, if you're going to be the speaker that does a TEDx talk, then you act in accordance. And a person who's going to do a TED talk, you know, does research, for example. So yeah, absolutely. I went and radically changed my diet. Now, did I know for absolute sure that that was going to be the one thing that was going to heal me? Of course not. But I acted as if, right?
Yep. Oh my gosh. I firmly believe that you should act how you want to be received and perceived. If you are in corporate and you just get hired, you should be acting like a leader. Of course, learning and everything else, but you should be in the mentality of acting like a leader. If you are middle management, you need to be acting like upper management. Not like I'm the boss and like boss people around, but you need to have that mentality of you are training your replacement. I talk about leadership all the time, especially in the military. Do you know how many people won't teach somebody else because of the fear of losing their job?
Right.
Nobody. Yeah. Like, are you honestly going to sit here and tell me? Are you honestly going to sit here and tell me that you don't want to train somebody because you don't want them to take your job because you love your job where you're at, or you love your position, or like you should be moving up the chain. Your whole goal is to own the whole thing. Be a VP, be a partner, be a whatever it is. You should be
growing.
Yes.
Always growing.
Oh, yes. And people are stuck. They're like, no, I'm not training nobody. And they're tearing down people around them to make sure that they are the tallest and the biggest and the strongest. And they just tear people down around them.
You think about that. Isn't that – that's the whole point behind the yes and point of view, the yes and. It's like, okay, I got the job. Now, yes. And what's next? And what's my next yes? What am I striving for? You know, you don't look down at your feet if you're running or you're skiing or you're doing anything that is forward motion. You look where you're going. You don't look at your pedals of your car when you're driving. You look right through the windshield. I hope you don't.
Be very
you look through the windshield, right? That would be a bad way to drive, by the way.
Right.
You know, you look where you're going. You look at the horizon. You don't keep your eyes on your feet on the pedals. And I think that a lot of people, they say yes once, right? They may get that little bit. They take that step forward, and then they go, okay, well, I'm good. You know, like, I'll just stay here. Or worse, they second guess their yes and they step backwards and they don't step fully into it. They really aren't living and embodying their yes. Or worse, they start paying lip service to it, you know, and these hollow yeses that aren't really there for show, right? It's like cotton candy, you know, it sounds good, tastes good, but it doesn't have any substance. And I think at the base, it's about fear. It's about letting, and that's what that whole journey was for me, was I had to allow the parts of me that no longer served die. It's like small sort of micro versions of death. And when people say, you know, did you have a near death experience? I'm like, that whole process was a quote near death experience. Every day was a micro death and a micro birth. At the same time, right?
100%.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that mentality. I like that a lot. And I totally understand and totally resonate with that.
It was an exciting time.
What was – I really want to know, the doctors must have been – appalled and flabbergasted and said, like, wait, it's gone. You're cancer free. You're gone. Like, they had to have been shocked.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that I found their reactions to begin with very interesting. When I told them that I wasn't going to do the chemo and the radiation, my oncologist, I remember the conversation vividly. I actually had two different doctors. One was the first doctor that saw me, the ears, nose, and throat specialist, and then my oncologist. The ears, nose, and throat specialist,
yep.
He took that really personally. I mean, he flipped out. He was like, what? His eyes got really big. He looked terrified. I'd never seen anything like it. I mean, even my own family wasn't as freaked out. He just flipped it. He's, oh, no. You can't do that. You don't understand. You clearly don't know what you're talking about. And I laid it all out for, I had done my research. I told him,
yep.
You know, I had more research probably than he did on, mm-hmm. on the topic. And I said, don't make any mistake. I'm not making this a purely emotional decision. This is an educated choice on my part. And I know exactly what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And he just flat out said, if you don't do this, if you don't go to your oncologist and get into this radiation, you don't understand, it's going to spread. And likely with the kind of cancer you have and where it's already metastasized, it's already in the lymph nodes, you know, you're going to be dead in 3 years. And I said, well, I'll be more than happy to be the very first of all your patients to be the one that, you know, kind of proves you wrong. Right.
Yeah.
Essentially. And he shook his
yep.
head and he just said, well, you know, I wish you the best. I really do. Which, of course, meant, you know, I'm pretty sure you're going to die.
Yeah.
That was.
Yep.
And my oncologist wasn't
yep.
much better. He
did you ever go back to those guys
emphatic.
And be like, hey, look at me. Hello.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that in one way, there was a part of me that really did want that sort of interesting sort of sense of satisfaction. But what I found is once I was on my path and the people I met and the forward motion that I was making, it didn't feel congruent with where I was. I just was so far past that by the time I got to the place where I was like cancer-free, which was only within 6 months.
I wouldn't have done it from a place of hate.
Right.
I would have done it from, I told you so, but still not a place of hate, but look at me.
Right.
I told you, I'm fucked, because don't you have to go back to the oncologist to get, like, cancer screenings and everything else?
No, you don't have to, actually. You don't have to go back to the particular oncologist that diagnosed
you. But, I mean, you got to go to somebody.
That's true. And I did have a functional doctor whom I was, and he's an MD. So he ordered
yeah.
the follow-up PET scans. So,
right.
you know, and he was running the test, and so I was under his care. Interestingly enough, the oncologist that diagnosed me, who was the head of the entire cancer center, by the time that I was ready to, right, to show the results and, you know, say, hey, guess what, I'm cancer free. I don't know what happened, but in some cloud of mystery, he was, unseated. He left. Nobody'd heard from him. He just disappeared. It was weird. So, yeah. So I didn't even get a chance
wow.
to go back.
Wow.
Yeah.
But your doctor,
yeah.
was your doctor like, incredible, like you're free, like it's, you're good.
Well, the doctor that I went to, that's what he did. He was an immunologist, a functional medicine doctor. So he really specialized in epigenetic therapies, so he wasn't at all surprised. He was very pleased that I was the only patient that he'd ever treated that came to him before chemo, before radiation, because he was accustomed to getting patients that were on their deathbed. They were sent home to die from their regular oncologist. They had their second or third cancers. I mean, it was really sad. I got to meet a lot of really amazing people, other cancer patients
wow.
when I was in that clinic. And he was a miracle worker. But what I think that the common thread, the difference between those people with cancer and the cancer patients in the oncology ward, one of the distinctions is that these people would come in And they all had smiles on their faces, and they were all embracing and loving themselves and life and one another. And there was so much hope. In fact, that was the name of the cancer center, is the Center for Hope, Medical Center for Hope. That was pervasive, right, feeling. You didn't have this heavy, feeling when you walked in there. It was uplifting, and everybody was communing with one another, not commiserating over the perils of losing their hair and the horrible side effects and how they vomited that morning. It wasn't like that. It was really, truly this uplifting community. And that's when I really got this vision for the future of what I wanted to do with my work in the world. That inspired me, right? Seeing these people be so positive and uplifted and believing in themselves and loving their lives, that it was very clear to me that the war on cancer is the problem. When you wage war against a part of yourself, what do? We craft weapons of mass self-destruction like chemo and radiation. And unfortunately, that's what we call medicine in our traditional, Western culture these days. And I think it's very indicative and very reflective of how we as a collective consciousness, we need to shift this. We'll stop warring against ourselves and against one another and start loving ourselves, as an example, back into health and wholeness. And that's what I mean with when I say, your inner yes. There's a yes that doesn't require that you wage war against yourself. Right? Yeah.
I love it. Oh, that's awesome. The listeners listening right now, if you're joining us live Tuesday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, call us up, 657-383-1109. Give us your thoughts. Ask a question to Tracy or myself. And again, the number is 657-383-1109. We had a friend. Her name is Casey Swartz. And she had breast cancer back in 2013. She had been diagnosed with breast cancer in mid-20s. And so double mastectomy, she got radiation, the whole treatment, like everything. And she had said, cancer will kill me. I just don't know which one. Like that's crazy. That's like nuts, right? So 2013, she's good to go. 2015, not so much. 2015, she gets cancer again. And so she's been on she had a blog that she wrote, her fight out or her war against cancer, her war on cancer, fighting, there was something about fighting for life or, whatever. Mm. She was a speaker, and in the military, like her husband is still in the military. She had a daughter she has a daughter, about 4 or 5 years old or whatever. And, military is really helping her out and all that, paying for all the stuff. And then she got sick again. Then she got sick, and then she was like, oh, here I go. I go back in. And then, it had spread. The cancer had spread. So then she goes and does her radiation, does her chemo, boom, beats it again, cancer free. But she's like bald now, and she's sick. And she's like, I just don't feel good. And now you can just see her body is just like ravaged. And again, she goes, I don't know when I'm going to die, but I'm going to, I'm like, why do you do this to yourself? And in 2016, she got cancer for the third time, and she had tumors in her ribs and in her eye. She ended up going blind in one eye. She had brain cancer, like her organs were shutting down, and they said, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
The third time she got it, it was like her whole body. She was like, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
And she ended up passing away. She ended up dying.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and I hear the stories of this person made it and they healed themselves. And my friend tells me this stuff and I'm like, why, what is happening, And a very good friend of ours, husband, you know, was a good person, and the child is absolutely amazing. And she was just, she never complained one time. She never complained. She was always booked to speak somewhere. She was like, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm fighting with. This is what I'm, you know, whatever. And,
she's been a good soldier.
It was tough.
She's been a good soldier. She was soldiering
on.
Yeah.
Up until the last moment. Up until the last moment.
And listen, I have such huge, huge compassion and empathy, and I feel, I met so many amazing people. Many amazing people through my cancer journey. I have compassion for people who are facing this life-changing event. And I certainly don't ever want anyone to mistake me that I think that somebody who chooses differently is wrong. Here's the thing. I'm just the call that I have to others is, let's love ourselves more. Let's say yes to a part of ourselves that says, you know, that if we're going to we're going to kind of have self-fulfilling prophecy, let it be good. Let it be life. Let it be the least violent way possible. Right. Say, hey, I told people that. I said, you know, it's interesting. And I'm going to write this in my book. I am writing this in my book, that the cancer became my Joe Black. Right. If you've ever saw the movie or read the book. But
what a great movie.
Right.
Meet Joe Black.
Meet Joe Black, right. So cancer became my Joe
movie.
Black. And I looked at cancer as this dark angel that walked beside me. And it was a strange sort of bedfellow, so to speak. I really felt comforted by the fact that death no longer scared me, right? It was a comfort to me to know that all of this life, this stuff, this pressure, this stress of being human and being in this today and, you know, this day and age, all of that goes along with it, that there's an end to it. And that was somehow comforting to me. But I also knew in that moment that there was a transcendent, we don't end, you know, our spirit, our soul, who we are. That was my journey, right, with Joe Black, the cancer angel
right.
by my side, taking me, leading me down that path and saying, see, at the end of it all, you are still you. You can still love yourself and have your body be, you know, quote, broken and useless. But it doesn't have to be that way. In other words, there's comfort at all levels. And if we really got that, if we really understood that, and we really embraced that, yes, that deep yes, then the things that scare us the most can be transformed into not just opportunity to overcome, but to can be transmuted and changed into something really beautiful and amazing and life-changing, not just for you, but for everyone around you. So
I love it.
Yeah,
absolutely love it. I have two quick questions as we start to wrap up the show. First question. Did your doctor tell you or hint at or make you aware that cancer may show up again? Or was it like, you're good, have a nice life? you know, like, what was that like?
Yeah. Well, it depends on the doctor, because I had more than one. The doctor that helps me heal, that helps facilitate through the epigenetic therapies, the non-toxic, you know, all of that. All he said to me was, once I got my final test results, is he said, you know, Tracy, this is, he just handed me the paper and said, here's your life, right? This is it. It's yours. It's yours. So I'm not here to tell you anything. I'm not a fortune teller. I'm not a predictor of anything. It is yours to do with what you choose. And you've chosen life, obviously. So be well. Love what you've been given. And I hope I never see you again in a good way.
Right? Oh, that's
right?
So good.
So.
Oh, that's so good. I love it. My second part of that question is, how are you elevating the world around you now? I feel like you've been given a second chance. You know, we always talk about these gifts and this, that, and the other, whatever. I feel like, you know, you were given that chance, that second, the second chance. So how do you elevate the world around you using your why and using your transformational moment?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that the easiest answer to that is how I'm elevating. I choose every day to empower the people that I come in contact with, not just my clients, which of course, you know, are near and dear and to my heart, but the people that I come in contact with, to empower them to dig deeper within themselves for that power, the power that resides within them, that we call it your God power, your higher self, whatever, right? That is each of our divine rights. And if they could just get that just a little bit more, if by me helping them in some form or fashion, whether it's getting their work out in the world, which is why I work with entrepreneurs, delivering their medicine in the world, right? Their message, elevating someone else. That's how I, like a ripple effect. My goal is to affect 1 billion lives, right? And so yes to millions was the first iteration. Now it's yes to billions, right? That's how I elevate. And I do that with one person at a time. And if they can empower themselves just that little bit more and then have that paid forward, then I'm doing right by this second chance.
I love it.
Hmm.
Oh, that's amazing. Very cool. I want to give you a moment to shamelessly plug your programs, products, services, how they can get a hold of you, whatever it is that you want the audience to know and to do. Shamelessly plug.
Awesome. Well, right now, my partner and my business partner and I, Angela Giles, who's amazing and I adore. She's my other La Femme, right, in La Femme Empire. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of growth and iterations in our business. Bottom line is we love working with entrepreneurs, conscious entrepreneurs, small business owners, to help them grow their business, to increase their influence specifically, whether that be online, digitally, increasing their sales through being more persuasive in what I call the conscious conversation that converts, or just being, you know, putting themselves out there, digitally marketing themselves. We love working with entrepreneurs to do that. And that's our expertise. And through the YES method, which we've been talking a little bit about, everyone has a yes journey, including our clients' clients, and understanding that and incorporating the yes journey for the client, yes journey into their marketing, their messaging, and in their sales efforts, we believe is the key, is the path to everything that they want to grow their business and to make a bigger impact. So really the only plug I have is if you're interested, if you're a conscious entrepreneur and you are in the position where you want to grow your influence, grow your impact, grow your business, we'd love to talk to you. I mean, I'm just going to keep it simple. Just get a hold of us and we'd love to set up a time to have a chat and see if there's a way for us to support you in that. And probably the best way is just to email us at lafemmeempire@gmail.com.
I love it.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Very, very clear. I love it. So as we close the show, can you take us home? Give us that nugget of knowledge. What is the YES method? And I'll leave the how to the people that get a hold of you, but What is the yes method that we've been talking about today for those joining us late in the program? What is the yes method? And you know, and it works. It definitely
yes.
works. But talk about that.
Yeah. So I like to refer to the yes method as the best decision making, action taking, conviction staking method.
Wow.
It's really a three-part, and this is the high overview, of course. But this is a three-step process. The first yes is clarity. You have to get clear on what it is you want to say yes to. So often, I believe that we don't even know what we're trying to say yes to, what we want to say yes to, because we're so busy trying to just keep our head above water every day and, you know, please everybody else. And all that noise drowns out
mm-hmm.
our true yes, right? So the first phase of the yes journey is clarity around what's really truly at the core of your inner yes. So it's exploring and making clear your yes. What is it you want to say yes to? Okay. And by virtue of saying yes, by the way, to what's really true and authentic for you, that means by virtue of that, you're cutting away and saying, quote, saying no to many other things. So for every yes, there's probably 10 other no's. Right.
Oh,
so
yeah.
No has its place, but you got to mm-hmm. know your no and be your yes. Right. So that's the first
right.
yes. The second yes is action, is committed action. So just as we were saying, it's not enough to just know what you want to say yes to, but you got to take action. And so that second phase of the yes method is committed action. Okay, and having a plan for that, not just wishful thinking, but actually creating a crafted plan in congruent, right, congruence and alignment with your inner yes. Then the third yes is what I call conviction. And that is where you be, you're being your yes. That's where you don't get knocked off your course. That's when things happen, stuff comes up, life happens, you're thrown all these curveballs, but you stay in your yes, you stay committed in that yes. And there's more to that. You know, it sounds easy on paper, but that's where we really hunker down and help you break old patterns and really establish being that yes, steadfast. And then it starts all over again. You get to say yes to something new. So that's the core of the yes method. And then we, of course, for entrepreneurs, we apply that yes journey to your clients and what that looks like for them. And that's how we work with entrepreneurs. So that's it is in a nutshell.
That is very cool. And thank you so much for sharing that. It's going to help somebody for sure. For sure. It's going to help somebody. I know it helped you and continues to pay dividends for those that you help. So, Tracy, I want to thank you so much for telling your story. I want to thank you so much for the amazing conversation that we had and your journey moving forward, without a doubt, is one of saying yes and figuring it out and being that person who decided to take their life differently than the ones who have made the decision for the chemo and other stuff, but have chosen to change in light of insurmountable odds. And for that, I applaud you. And I absolutely wish you the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sean. And I really, really appreciate and thank you for the work that you do and bringing so many amazing people together. And I believe that together we rise. So thank you.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Jim Rohn said a rising tide lifts all ships. And I firmly and wholeheartedly believe that. So thank you so much for your time and your energy today. Where's the best place for someone to get a hold of you?
At you can email me at lafemmeempire at gmail.com. And that's the fastest way to get a hold of me. Of course, you can always go to our website, lafemmeempire.com. And please come and join our group, our Facebook group. It's La Femme Empire Yes to Millions. And we have tons of amazing conscious entrepreneurs in that group. And we would love to have you as a new member of our community.
Perfect. Outstanding. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, you heard it here. Join the Facebook group, La Femme Empire Yes to Millions. Check it out in the show notes. The link's right there. Go to lafemmeempire.com. And if anything resonated with you, please connect with Tracy and let her know that you heard her episode and her story on Life Transformation Radio. Wherever you're comfortable listening to the podcast, please subscribe. Leave us a rating and review so that we know how well you're doing. You can join us live Tuesday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget to join our Facebook group, Life Transformation Radio Community. And with that, I close the show by saying live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.